7 entitled Killing of the Demon Trinavarta, text number 3. धान्यद् अपि कृष्णस्य तोकाचरितमद्भुतम् मानुषं लोक असाध्य तज्जातिम् अनुरुन्दत अतान्यदपि कृष्णस्य तोकाचरितमद्भुतम् मानुषं लोकमासाद्य तज्जातिम् अनुरुन्दत अतान्यदपि कृष्णस्य तोकाचरितमद्भुतम् मानुषं लोक आसाद्य तज्जातिम् अनुरुन्दत अथ ऑल्सो अन्यद् अपि अदर पास टाइम्स ऑल्सो कृष्णस्य ऑफ चाइल्ड कृष्णा तोका चरितम अद्भुतम दे आर ऑल्सो वंडरफुल चाइल्डहुड पास टाइम्स मानुषम एज इफ प्लेइंग एज अ ह्यूमन चाइल्ड लोकम आसाद्य अपियरिंग ऑन दिस प्लैनेट अर्थ इन ह्यूमन सोसाइटी तज्जातिम एग्जैक्टली लाइक अ ह्यूमन चाइल्ड अनुरुन्दत हु वॉज इमिटेटिंग ट्रांसलेशन Please describe other pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality, who appeared on this planet Earth, imitating a human child and performing wonderful activities like killing Putana. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikshit requested Shukadeva Goswami to narrate other childhood pastimes exhibited by Krishna while playing as a human child. The Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnates at different times in different planets and universes. And according to the nature of those places, He exhibits His unlimited potency. That a child sitting on the lap of his mother was able to kill the gigantic Putana is extremely wonderful for the inhabitants of this planet. But on other planets, the inhabitants are more advanced and therefore the pastimes the Lord performs there are still more wonderful. Krishna's appearance on this planet, like a human being, makes us more fortunate than the demigods in the higher planets. And therefore Maharaj Parikshit was very much interested in hearing about him. Oh, ಜ್ಞಾಂತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರೋನ್ಮಿಲಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋವಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಃ ಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಾಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾಂ ವಿತಾಂತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ. ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಂಶ್ಚ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೆ. ವಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮೋ ಹರೇ ರಾಮೋ ರಾಮ ರಾಮೋ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವಿ ಲೈಕ್ ಟು ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಟು ದ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಥಾ ಸೀರೀಸ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಟುಡೇ. ವಿ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವೀಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಜನ್ಮಾಷ್ಟಮಿ, ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಫೆಸ್ಟಿವಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸೈಟಿಂಗ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಇಯರ್ ಫಾರ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಸ್. So it's very apt and very pertinent that we discuss Krishna Katha in this week. So today I'm going to be sharing some amazing stories of Krishna's life. Stories that probably, you know, none of you all would have ever heard in your life. Stories that will make you laugh, stories that will make you cry, stories that will make you fall in love with Krishna. So that's the whole aim of today's session. If at the end of today's class, if you feel that you love Krishna a little more, then you can thank me at the end. And these stories are so, so sweet and so, so special that I actually decided to write them as a book. There's a book I wrote called The Little Blue Book on Krishna. And most of the stories that I'll be speaking today are from that book. And that book has many, many more. So I'm just kind of giving you a little glimpse of what sweetness of Krishna can be like. No lessons, no, you know, analysis. Most people in my classes, they end up getting, you know, confused, bewildered, and shocked at the end of all the analysis that happens. For a change, this will be like a smooth story, but rather a series of stories basically, and it'll be fun. One time when this is a story that is strange but also so beautiful, in the sense that it's a very different type of story of Krishna. One time there was a bird that was born in the Himalayan mountains, and this was a multicolored bird. No one had ever seen a bird of this color, and it's so many facets. The peacock would fall short of colors when you see this bird. So mostly this bird would be in the mountains of the Himalayas. So hardly any human beings had seen this bird. But somehow one day, one hunter caught this bird. And this hunter, he was fascinated when he saw this bird and he managed to capture it. So he thought that he will sell this bird and make some huge money. But when he actually started training the bird a little bit, he realized he can make more money by making bird shows, you know. So he started going to different villages and doing these bird shows. One day, so this bird obviously was miserable because, you know, who likes to be in captivity? But the bird had no option, and the hunter was fascinated to see that the bird could speak human language also. So he was amazed, and everywhere he would go, people would throng. Finally, by the fortune of this bird and the fortune of the hunter, he reached Vrindavan. And as soon as he reached Vrindavan, he started doing these bird shows. And thousands of the gopas and gopis, boys, girls, all of them started flooding and crowding around. And this man was amazed by the number of people that had come. So he thought he'll make a lot of money. And he started doing these bird shows. So as soon as he would speak a particular line, the bird would fly high in the air, showing all its colors, and everyone was amazed. Suddenly, the bird saw a little boy coming running through the crowd and coming straight in the front of the crowd where Nanda Maharaj was sitting. He was the king of Vrindavan. He was sitting on a special seat there. And this little boy jumped on the lap of Nanda Maharaj. So this bird was fascinated seeing Krishna, and Krishna was fascinated seeing this beautiful bird. And while all the boys and girls in Vrindavan and all the elders were enjoying the show that the bird was exhibiting for them and the kind of things that the hunter was making the bird do, Krishna suddenly asked a question to his father, Nanda Maharaj. He said, "Why is the bird tied? Nobody had seen the little thread, you know. I'm sure when we dress Gopinath, there's little strings that nobody can see, right? But those strings are very important to hold the cloth in place. So similarly, there was a little thread that actually tied the bird to a small stick that the hunter was carrying. Nobody saw that stick and nobody saw that thread. Everybody only saw the bird. But Krishna saw that the bird was tied. So the bird felt so good. Somebody noticed immediately. And Krishna told his father, I want that bird. So Nanda Maharaj, you know, he asked the hunter, we want this bird. How much will you take for this bird? So the hunter thought he has a lifelong business with this bird, you know. Why will he give the bird away for some small amount of money? So he started saying, no, this bird cannot survive in a village like this. It has to go back to the Himalayas regularly, otherwise it will die. The bird spoke in a human language. The bird said, don't worry, I'll stay here. So the hunter realized that the bird is wanting to be with Krishna. And then the Nanda Maharaj's people got a huge amount of money. Unlimited gold coins and unlimited diamonds. And this hunter had never seen this kind of money. He immediately gave the stick which was holding the bird to Krishna's hand. And Krishna caught the stick. First thing he untied the bird. And the bird was so happy being with Krishna and being untied immediately, you know. So the bird came and sat on Krishna's shoulder. And Krishna asked the little bird, will you eat rotis? The hunter immediately said, no, this bird only eats fruits. If you give rotis, it will die. The bird said, no, I'll eat anything he gives me. So then one of Krishna's friends came and gave him a small roti. The bird ate. And the hunter happily went away knowing that next four generations of his family doesn't have to work at all. You know, anyone who enters Vrindavan doesn't go back empty-handed. In fact, they go back much richer than they can expect also. And this bird remained with Krishna. Krishna asked this bird a little question. Krishna asked this bird, who else is there in your family? Now, this bird was amazed that Krishna is concerned about his family also. So he said, my wife is there, but she is in the Himalayas. And my children are there with her. Krishna said, go and get her also.
I'll take care of her also, and I'll give her rotis also. And Krishna released the bird, told, go back. Imagine, you know, they paid so much money, and Krishna immediately released the bird. The bird decided, I'll go, but I'll return with my family, and I'll never ever leave Vrindavan and go. The amazing thing about Krishna Leela is that Krishna is not someone who ties people to him and keeps. Krishna is someone who sets people free. And then if you want, you can come back to Krishna with your own free will. Krishna doesn't bind people. One time, Krishna was playing with all his friends. And they play so many games, unlimited number of games. In fact, all the games that we see in the Olympics, all invented in Vrindavan. So one day, while they were playing games, the boys felt hungry. So Krishna, this is the mango season, you know, this is just before the rains, the summertime, and all the boys were hungry. So Krishna stood below a mango tree. And as soon as he stood below a mango tree, suddenly the branches of the tree started bending. And hundreds of mangoes were right in front of Krishna's eyes. And Krishna just plucked one mango and began to eat it. There was one friend of Krishna whose name was Madhumangal. He loved mangoes. In fact, he loved anything, you know. He loved to eat anything. So he was amazed. The mango tree bent and gave mango to Krishna. And he said, Krishna, can I also take one mango? Krishna said, no, no. If you want mangoes, you have to request the mango tree and the mango tree will give you. Madhumangal said, how do I make the mango, you know, tree bend like this? Krishna said, very simple. I'll teach you a mantra. You chant the mantra, but you have to chant very sincerely. Then the mango tree will bend. And Madhumangal learned the mantra very nicely from Krishna, closed his eyes, and intensely chanted the mantra. And he opened the eyes, no mangoes. The mango tree is not bending only. And Krishna was laughing so much. He was laughing so badly looking at Madhumangal's state. Krishna said, no, no, you're not chanting the mantra properly. Chant again. You know? And this guy was trying so frantically to get the mango tree to bend. The mango tree obviously was not bending. And then Balramji, he came to the rescue of Madhumangal. Because Balramji understood that Madhumangal is feeling restless and hungry. So Balramji comes to Madhumangal and tells him, Madhumangal, don't think mangoes will bend and come to you like this. They come only for Krishna. But for you, if you want mangoes, I have a different way of getting mangoes for you. And Balramji shook the tree. And hundreds of mangoes rained down. And one fell on Madhumangal's head also. Yeah? And Madhumangal picked up all those mangoes and ran away to eat them. Krishna has a very unique relationship with all his friends. And the kind of relationship that Krishna has is so special. And with each one, it's a very unique flavor. There was one particular friend of Krishna named Bhadra. And this friend of Krishna was and he was one of his cousins actually. But they had a very intimate, Bhadra couldn't be without Krishna even for a second. They were like so thickly close. One day, Bhadra and Krishna, all of them were playing games. And suddenly Krishna went missing. Bhadra was amazed, you know, 1-2 minutes if Krishna goes missing, he just loses his focus, you know. He began to search everywhere for Krishna. And he actually became worried. Because Krishna always lands in some trouble or the other, you know. And Bhadra was very worried and concerned about Krishna. You know, sometimes he climbs on the tree and he climbs on the weakest branch of the tree without even thinking, you know. So Bhadra was thinking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And he was looking here and there, here and there. And all the friends of Krishna, they were not searching only. So Bhadra was even more amazed. Usually if Krishna goes missing, everyone is concerned and everyone is searching. But today, only he is searching, the others are not searching only. So he went and asked everyone, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? So nobody is telling anything. In fact, some of them are giggling and smiling also. You know? So Bhadra is wondering, why is everyone behaving so badly today? You know? So he said, one person doesn't behave badly, that is Dau Bhaiya, you know, Balaramji. So let me go and ask him, where is Krishna? So he went and asked Balaramji, where is Krishna? So Balaram, he is saying, He gives him a very cryptic answer. He tells him, where will Krishna hide from you? He is asking him only a question, you know. So Bhadra is wondering, why is everyone, you know, not answering me, and why is everyone not searching for Krishna? So he runs around everywhere, and he is not able to figure out only. And suddenly, he realizes that everyone is staring at him. That's when it struck to Bhadra. So usually, the entire Vrindavan, so when Krishna is in the forest of Vrindavan, everyone in the forest is looking at him only. Whether it is birds or animals or even trees, you know, it is bending in the direction which Krishna is. All the boys, the eyes are glued on Krishna constantly. But today Bhadra realized everybody is looking at him. So he was amazed. This has never happened in the history of Vrindavan, that everyone is not looking at Krishna and looking at him. And that's when Bhadra realized that Krishna is behind him. And suddenly Bhadra turned around and Krishna jumped and hugged him. So what Krishna was doing was, he was like a shadow following Bhadra behind, you know. So Bhadra was turning like this, Krishna was also turning, you know. So he was trying to hide from Bhadra like that. Interestingly, all of us also in one sense are searching for Krishna. And Krishna is somewhere so close to us, and we're looking all around us. We just have to look inside, and that's where we find Krishna. Here is a very hilarious and a very funny story. So Krishna and his friends, they would do a lot of pranks, you know, stealing butter in different houses. And every day they found unique ways of stealing, you know, and doing these pranks. One day, Krishna went at 6 o'clock in the morning to one gopi's house. And he knocked on her door. And Krishna had just gotten up. He had not even washed his face. He had not even brushed his teeth. Just fresh, he woke up, went to this gopi's house and knocked the door. And when the gopi opened the door, she was shocked to see Krishna standing there. Imagine, you know, first thing in the morning, Krishna standing at your door. And his eyes were sleepy. He was rubbing his eyes and he was like very, very sleepy. So gopi asked him, what happened early in the morning? Why are you here? Krishna tells her, Mother Yashoda has sent me to your house because we are having some sadhus in our house as guests today and we don't have butter at home. So Mother Yashoda told me to go to your house and get one pot of butter, you know. This gopi was thrilled. I mean, Mother Yashoda never ever asked butter from other people, you know. She has so much in her house, you know. And she was thinking, I'm so fortunate that Yashoda has sent Krishna to ask butter from my house, you know. So she went in and got 2 pots of butter and gave Krishna. He said, take this and, you know, feed the sadhus, you know, from my side, please tell your Mother Yashoda. So, and then she gave him a packet of mishri, you know, this condensed sugar. So she said, you mix butter and mishri and give the sadhus, they will like it. So Krishna was very happy. And then he turned around, you know, he said, just to make it more genuine, he said, we will give you back your pots of butter later, you know. She said, no, this is from my side for serving Mother Yashoda. So Krishna turned around, she closed the door. And as soon as she closed the door, Krishna signaled all his friends to come out. All of them hiding in around there only, you know. And then suddenly a big gang of boys jump out, you know. And Krishna sits right on the doorstep of this lady. Right at the doorstep. And his friends are asking, are you gone mad? It's so risky to sit in the door in which, you know, you just stolen. Krishna said, no, this is more fun. When the more risk, the more fun it is, you know. And he told everyone, let's sit here only and eat, you know. And they all sat in a circle outside the door of this gopi. And Krishna is giving butter to everyone and mishri, and they just were eating so much. In the meanwhile, inside, this gopi was hearing sounds of this mishri, you know, this sugar balls being crushed by the teeth. So she says, something is going on outside the door. Maybe she thought some monkeys are, you know, making some mischief there. And she opened the door. To the shock of her life, see all these boys sitting in circle over there and eating. She gets wild. She said, Krishna, you lied to me that this mishri, this butter is for all the sadhus. And look at these stupid boys you're feeding, you know. And then Krishna gets up. All the boys are scared now. But Krishna gets up and he's very angry at the gopi. He tells her, how dare you call my friends as stupid, you know. You don't know how big sadhus they are, you know. And he's telling the gopi that you should actually do dandavat to these people. You know, they're all sadhus, big sadhus they are. And there was one little boy, he was so small, he didn't even realize they are caught. He was still eating, sitting and eating over there. Huh? So Krishna is pointing out to him, and that boy was naked, completely naked, you know. And Krishna is telling, look at this, this is a Naga Baba sitting here, you know. He's come from the Himalayas. And this lady was wild. She said, I'm going to go and get a danda and do dandavat to all of you all. She went running inside to get a stick and all the boys ran away. Another time was the holy season in Vrindavan. Usually Krishna is with all his friends having fun, you know, celebrating Holi, you know. But this particular time, Krishna was terrified. In fact, he was not stepping out of the house only. He was telling his mother, I don't want to go to play colors with my friends, because the previous year, the friends of Krishna had troubled him too much. They put too much color on him, and Mother Yashoda had to scrub him for hours and hours, and he didn't like that scrubbing and all, you know. And plus, some color had gone in his eyes also. So he was like, you know, really panicking. So he told, no, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. So Mother Yashoda said, fine, you stay inside. And then, in some time, all the friends of Krishna came outside Nanda Bhavan and they started shouting from outside, Krishna, come out, come out. And Krishna was scared. You know, he was telling his mother, go and tell them that I'm not there. So Mother Yashoda went out and she said, you know, Krishna is not there, he is gone somewhere. So all the friends, they came to know that something is wrong here. They appointed Madhumangal as a, you know, on their behalf to go and search all inside the house. So Madhumangal walked in the house and searched all over Nanda Bhavan. Finally, in one corner, he heard something that sounded like some rat running around, you know. So he went in that corner and saw Krishna was hiding over there. So Madhumangal caught Krishna now. And Krishna said, please, please, Madhumangal, don't tell anyone I'm here. So Madhumangal said, no, no, everyone wants to play with you. Krishna said, no, 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 please don't tell. And he said, if you don't tell them, I will give you laddus. And I'll give you a big plate of laddus. So the moment Madhumangal heard laddus, his, you know, whole focus changed. He said, I mean, nobody had ever given him more than 2 laddus. And here is Krishna promising him a full plate of laddus. Madhumangal said, I will not tell them, provided you give me the plate of laddus now. So Krishna went in, got a big plate of laddus and gave Madhumangal. And this guy was happy, so happy. He came out of the plate of laddus and he told the friends, Krishna has told that he is not the house. Madhumangal is a Brahman, he doesn't know how to lie also properly. So all the friends went inside, dragged Krishna out, and they, you know, they threw colors on him. And then eventually Krishna also forgot his fear and he played with them. One time, here is another very interesting episode that happens in the forest of Vrindavan when Krishna was playing with his friends. One day, Bhadra, who is Krishna's closest associate, he feels very, very hungry. And he's like starving, you know. And he tells Krishna, come, let's eat. And Krishna is so much engrossed in playing, you know, he doesn't bother only to eat, basically. And Bhadra was feeling so hungry, and he could see Krishna is also hungry. But Krishna is so excited that he neglects. So Bhadra becomes very upset, you know. And, you know, Krishna is in a very mischievous mood. He doesn't listen to Bhadra at all. And finally, Bhadra gets upset and angry and he walks out. He just walks away from all of them, you know. So Krishna is thinking, where will he go? He'll go a little here and there and he'll come back. All the boys make fun of Bhadra. And Bhadra straight walks and he walks into a cave. And he sits in the cave alone, you know, with all the food packets and all. So then everybody comes to know that Bhadra is very upset and he is very sad. So Krishna says, don't worry, I will make him alright. And Krishna says, I will first scare him and then we'll play with him. So Krishna, he calls out to a lion. So in Vrindavan, everyone is a devotee, right? So even the lions of Vrindavan are also Krishna's friends, basically. So Krishna calls out to the most ferocious lion in Vrindavan. And this big, massive lion comes. And Krishna tells his lion, come with me. we'll go and scare Bhadra, you know. So this lion is walking along with Krishna. And all the friends of Krishna, Krishna tells them, you wait here, I'll come back. And Krishna goes in alone. And what he does, interestingly, he transforms himself into a lion. Of course, the other boys don't see that. Only for Bhadra, only to scare Bhadra, Krishna transforms himself into a lion and walks into the cave. When Bhadra sees a lion walking in, he looks at him and he tells him, I told you, you're hungry. So this lion, you know, Krishna was dressed as a lion. He gets bewildered. He said, he doesn't understand only what to reply. And Krishna turns around and looks up. And on top is Yogamaya. Rather, so, you know, there is a particular form of the Maya energy of the Lord who puts a covering around everyone, right? And she makes sure that everyone doesn't understand everything about Vrindavan. So if Krishna is particularly doing a particular form, like say for example here, Krishna has taken the form of a lion. Now, what is the work of this Maya? To make sure Subal doesn't understand that this is Krishna, but he thinks it is a lion. Isn't that what illusion is? Illusion means that which is not. So this is Krishna, but he has taken the form of a lion. So ideally, Bhadra is supposed to look at the lion and get scared, thinking it is a lion. But the problem is, in Vrindavan, this particular Maya, Shakti of the Lord, doesn't work always. And sometimes the devotees of Krishna are so powerful, they can see through the Maya of Krishna. So Bhadra, when he saw Krishna there. He didn't see the lion. So he asked Krishna, you're hungry? Come near, I'll feed you. So now Krishna is bewildered. Is he a lion or is he Krishna? You know? He looks at Maya and she says, I'm sorry, I can't help it. This is beyond my control. And then the lion jumps at Bhadra and Bhadra is feeding prasad to the lion. And Krishna quietly sits next to Bhadra and eats all the food that Bhadra is feeding him. And in the meanwhile, all the other boys, friends of Krishna come. And they are all, and the big lion, the original lion is still there, you know. And that original lion, when he comes, Bhadra says, come here, I've just fed your younger brother, now I'll feed you also. You know? And actually Bhadra is feeding that big, massive lion, Krishna Prasad. And the lion is so peaceful, he's just eating Prasad and he's contented. So the understanding here is that, you know, the most powerful energy of the Lord, which is the Maya Shakti, has no power in Vrindavan, has no ability to cover over the residents of Vrindavan. They can see through the Maya Shakti of the Lord. The story I'm going to tell you all now is one of my favorites. I just love this story. It's such a sweet and such a beautiful story. One day, Krishna was celebrating his birthday, Janmashtami. And Krishna has a very unique way of celebrating his birthday. He wants to give gifts to his friends. So, on the Janmashtami day, Nanda Maharaj organizes a festival for all the residents of Vrindavan to come and meet Krishna. And he organizes elaborate feast and everything. And all the boys and all the gopas and gopis, they come to celebrate Janmashtami with Krishna. Imagine, what a fortune, you know, actually celebrating Janmashtami with Krishna in Vrindavan. And all of them bring gifts for Krishna. And all of them bring very unique gifts and very interesting type of gifts, you know. And the most amazing thing is that these gifts are not very costly. They're very simple things. But each thing that these people get, it touches Krishna's heart so much. Like one boy, he came to Krishna and he told Krishna, Krishna, I want to give you something. Krishna said, yes. And you know what he got for him? He got a tilak made from cow dung. And he said, I've got cow dung tilak for you. And he put on Krishna's forehead. He decorated Krishna's forehead with cow dung tilak. And Krishna became so thrilled, so excited seeing that cow dung tilak. He ran around showing everyone, see what Bhadra has given me, see what Bhadra has given me. Such a thoughtful gift. I mean, for you and me, we probably think, now, what is this? You know, tilak is can be a gift also. You know? But for Krishna, just that one little gesture that Bhadra has been so thoughtful makes him happy. One boy, a little small guy, his name is Toke. He comes and gives Krishna a flower. And it's a three-colored flower. And he gives one little flower to Krishna and says, Krishna, this is my gift for you. And Krishna sees the three-colored flower. His eyes lit up. He said, wow, I've never seen a three-colored flower in my life. I mean, it's all Krishna's creation only. Yeah? But he's so amazed that, you know, he has given this gift to him. Somebody gives him a small peacock feather. Everyone is just giving him small little gifts. And Krishna is so excited, thinking that, you know, my friends have given me so much. And then, every Janmashtami, there's a big problem in Nanda Bhavan. The problem is, when all these gifts are given to Krishna, Krishna wants to always give his friends gifts back in return. So, every year, he is crying on Janmashtami day that I don't have proper gifts to reciprocate with the such good gifts my friends have given me. So all year long, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, they collect gifts for this day. You know, Nanda Maharaj gets the best kind of cloth from some country. He gets the huge diamonds. He gets huge conch shells. He really goes out of his way to get the best of best gifts as return gifts from Krishna. But when Krishna looks at all those gifts and he compares them to the little flower that Toke gave, he said, no, these gifts are nothing compared to this. I can't give this. This is useless. And he's crying and crying and crying. So Nanda and Yashoda don't know what to do now, you know, because they have got the best of the best. And usually when there is such complicated family issues, Balaramji comes to the rescue, you know. Balaramji comes. He always has a wise idea. He tells Krishna one very interesting thing. He tells Krishna, Krishna, what is it that you have that your friends don't have? That's it. And he goes away. And Krishna is thinking, what is it that I have that my friends don't have? He thinks and thinks and thinks and thinks. And suddenly he gets it. Oh, I know. He runs and he jumps and embraces one of his friends. He says, Bhadra, I am yours. And he goes to the next friend, hugs him, and he says, Toke, I am yours. Every friend, Krishna hugs and he says, I am yours. What is it that the friends don't have? Krishna himself. So what is the best gift that Krishna gives back his friends in return? Gives himself only. Now imagine, what a way of reciprocating. I was just thinking that, you know, from this whole story, two very powerful things that glaringly comes out. One is valuing anything that is given to you, being grateful, you know. Krishna's valuing such small things and being so grateful to it. He didn't look at price tags and he didn't look at, you know, how much, where they've got it from. Nothing like that. He just looked at the love with which they gave. And how much Krishna wants to give back in return. So whatever we do for him, whatever we give him, it's nothing compared to what he's ready to give us. He's ready to give himself to us, basically. So I felt, wow, what a fascinating, you know, story this is. One time, Krishna had a pet cat. This was a golden, fat cat. And this cat was a very funny type of cat. You know, it was always around Krishna's house. And whenever Krishna is walking around the house, this cat will go and rub its, you know, body against Krishna's legs. It will go and sit at Krishna's feet. Something it will do to be around Krishna only, somehow or the other. And when Krishna goes to the forest to graze the cows and all, the cat is lying in one corner, as if it's like just sleeping and doing nothing basically. And the moment Krishna enters back, the cat becomes super active again, you know. So one day, when Krishna returned back from the forest, this cat was so excited that Krishna is back. So the cat started running in all directions, everywhere the cat was running. And the gopis had kept one big ball of thread, you know, the woolen thread for weaving. So somehow this cat found that ball of thread. And the cat started jumping on that ball of thread in excitement and all. And the thread started unwinding and the cat started getting wound up by the thread, basically. In a few short minutes, the cat was fully tied up with the thread, all directions, and the cat couldn't move only. And the cat started, making sounds, mewing, and desperately calling someone to help it. And all the gopas and the gopis, and they said, let this fellow remain like this only here, you know. And then finally, one little boy went and told Krishna, Krishna, your cat is tied up, it's stuck over there, you know. And Krishna came running to see that the cat is stuck so badly. And when Krishna saw the cat being so badly stuck, Krishna told the cat, don't move, don't move. If you move, then you'll get stuck more and more. Don't move, don't move. And then, slowly Krishna takes a thread and starts unwinding the cat. And slowly the cat begins to relax, just calmly puts its head on Krishna's lap, and Krishna opens the thread of the cat, and then the cat releases the cat. The cat goes running in all directions. We are all exactly this cat in one sense, you know. We are in the material world getting entangled with all the, you know, complicated things that we do. But Krishna is so loving. He understands that these guys are stuck so badly, and he comes and gently helps us open up all that, you know, mesh that they are stuck in. One time, Krishna and his friends were playing in Vrindavan, in the forest. And on this particular day, Durvas Muni, he happened to be in the forest. And Krishna and his friends were playing. And of all the games they were playing, on this particular day, you know, they were playing wrestling. And Krishna, he suddenly sees Durvas Muni sitting in one corner. And Durvas Muni is amazed looking at Krishna's beauty. Now, Durvas Muni is a great exalted saint. But he had not had darshan of Krishna as yet. So, first time Durvas saw Krishna, he was amazed. He was just, his heart melted. And Krishna saw this Baba sitting in one corner, you know, and doing some meditation. So, Krishna comes running to Durvas Muni. And he tells him, Baba, tell me who won. Did I win or did Shidama win? Now imagine, you know, there's one sadhu sitting there and these kids are having a wrestling match, you know. Krishna is running to this Durvas Muni. Durvas Muni is an angry sage. Such a serious and angry sage. He's asking who won in wrestling. I won or Shidama won. Durvas Muni is not able to speak only anything. He is just so wonderstruck at Krishna's beauty. His mouth is open and he's just staring at Krishna. Krishna tells him, Baba, why don't you speak? Are you dumb? Are you dumb? He asks him, you know. And Durvas Muni, he's like so bewildered. And then Krishna, he jumps on the lap of Durvas Muni. And he sits on the lap and pulls his beard. Pulls the beard of Durvas Muni. He says, Baba, tell me, did I win or did Shidama win? You know? And Durvas is completely amazed. And suddenly, as Krishna is, you know, speaking such things to Durvas Muni, Durvas Muni suddenly, he gets dragged into the mouth of Krishna. He enters into the mouth of Krishna and inside the mouth of Krishna, he is wandering from planet to planet. You know, the body of Krishna has all the universes. So he's wandering from one universe to another universe. Yugas are passing. You know, yuga cycles are passing one after another. And then after so many yugas have passed and so many planets he has roamed around, suddenly he comes out and he's sitting in Vrindavan and Krishna is lying and pulling his beard asking him, Baba, who won? Durvas is just amazed by this leela of Krishna. So in Vrindavan, there are no doctors. Because there's one very famous doctor in Vrindavan and that is Krishna. He treats everyone and he treats all diseases. And any disease anybody has in Vrindavan, they come to Krishna only. And he's a small boy, he's a 5-6 year old boy. But he knows all treatments. So if somebody has a headache, Krishna will press their head and make sure their headache goes away. So if any kind of disease anybody has, Krishna has a cure for it. And amazingly, when Krishna does the cure, whatever he does, people feel alright. People feel completely cured. And when all the boys and Krishna are in Vrindavan in the forest, Krishna is always in a doctor mode. Anyone who gets hurt, Even slightly, Krishna goes and treats them immediately. One time, one of Krishna's friends, his name was Rishabha. He got a slight scratch on his hand from some thorn. I mean, play in the forest, naturally you'll get some hurt, isn't it? And this boy, Rishabha, didn't even know he was hurt. But Krishna knew it. Krishna came running to him. He said, hey, you're hurt. I have to treat you immediately. Rishabha didn't even know where the hurt was. But somehow Krishna identified. Rishabha said, no, I want to play. Krishna said, no, you can't play. Because if you play, you'll get septic, you know. And he makes him sit over there. And then Krishna starts the treatment. Krishna's way of treatment. He treats monkeys, he treats cows, he treats any animal. He treats all his friends. He treats everyone basically in Vrindavan. He can't see anybody in pain. So when this boy sits down with Krishna, Krishna starts his treatment process. The first level of treatment, he finds the wound. And the wound is so small, the scratch is so small, you can't even see it. But Krishna takes anything seriously. Because it is his devotees, you know, so important. He looks at the scratch and he's blowing on the scratch. And Rishabha feels nice, Krishna is blowing on his scratch. And Krishna asks him, are you feeling good? For Krishna, treatment has to work immediately. Otherwise, it's not a treatment at all. You know? And then Krishna here, he sees that the scratch is pretty serious. He says, I have to put ointment on it. You know? Now, where do you find ointment? For Krishna, anything that is around is ointment, basically. So, if he finds grass, he takes that, crush it, and he'll make a paste out of it. If he sees flowers, he takes that. So, anything and everything can become an ointment for Krishna. So, he finds some grass, he takes that grass, crushes it on a stone. He has seen some Ayurvedic doctors do something like that, you know. So he makes a very serious paste out of it and he puts it on Rishabh's hand. And then he asks Rishabh, are you alright? Rishabh says yes. And then Krishna feels I successfully treated him. And then Krishna allows him to go to play. Imagine, what a doctor. What a compassionate doctor Krishna is. Instantly he wants to treat. Until the disease gets cured, he will not allow the patient to run around anywhere, you know. So this is the way in which Krishna treats all the patients of Vrindavan. And imagine if you have a doctor like this, you know, who will not want to have a disease? So everyone in Vrindavan somehow or the other finds some reason to come to Krishna for treatment. And Krishna loves treating all his devotees. One time, this is slightly off the Vrindavan pastime, but this is a very sweet pastime from the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Just on the first day of the Kurukshetra war, while the entire world was focusing on the armies, the two powerful armies standing in front of each other, the Kauravas and the Pandavas waiting to fight, millions of people on both the sides, and there was a massive war just about to start. But of all the people that were involved in the, you know, in the armies, no one noticed something that was on the battlefield. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Now this was a ground, right? It was not really a battlefield till then. On that ground of Kurukshetra was a family of birds staying. So this family of birds were living in that section of the forest for a long period of time, and these birds were a very special species of birds, and they did not stay on trees. They didn't, stay. They didn't build their nests on trees or plants or shrubs anywhere. They always stayed on the ground. So this type of birds, they always stayed on the ground. And somehow these birds, when they shout, their sound resembles human voices. So they're called. It sounds like something like Didi Do It, you know. So they call the Didi Do It birds. So these birds, they had a nest on the ground, you know, between grass and something like that, you know. So they had four eggs on the ground. And these two little birds, the husband and wife bird, they were shocked to see the next morning when they woke up, on both the sides, massive armies, conches being blown, elephants stamping, you know, chariots running here and there. And the birds were scared because they didn't know how to save their little ones. And the eggs now, they couldn't even carry them. They didn't have the strength to carry them. So they didn't know what to do. They were panicking so badly. And in their panic, they realize the only thing they can do is at least go away and save their lives. So the mother and father bird, they flew away from there, leaving the eggs in the right in the middle of the battlefield. And they were flying and hovering around, shouting for someone to help them. But human beings are so busy in their own world, who is going to hear two little birds and their problems? Because there is a bigger problem going on of Dharma Yuddha. And then these two little birds saw Krishna on the chariot of Arjuna. They felt some hope. Maybe he might understand us. And they began to circle around the chariot of Arjuna, shouting out for Krishna, please save our eggs, please save our eggs. And Krishna, apparently he didn't even seem to be bothered. But when the battle began, Krishna took the chariot of Arjuna in a particular direction. And just when they reached a particular point, the army from the front was coming, the Pandava army was going ahead. At a particular point, Krishna told Arjuna, Arjun, can you see that elephant over there? Arjun said, yes. Krishna said, can you see a huge bell hanging on the elephant's neck? Arjun said, yes. He said, when I tell you, shoot the bell down. And Arjun, he didn't ask Krishna why. He doesn't ask any questions. Whatever Krishna says, he does. And Krishna said, now shoot. And Arjun shot the bell of that elephant. And the huge bell straight fell on that, you know, covering the eggs. And that massive bell remained covering those four eggs for the 18 days of the Kurukshetra war. And after the 18 days of the war was over, you know, then Krishna arranged in such a way that that bell was thrown away by an elephant's leg. And exactly when the four eggs hatched into small birds and the mother and father could come and take their birds away. So Krishna arranged everything in such a way that these four birds were saved. Their little kids were saved. And no one even knew that Krishna did this. By the way, Krishna does many things. In all our lives, you know, Krishna does many small miracles. We don't even realize it. We don't even notice that Krishna has done a miracle. And that's how Krishna's miracles are. These miracles that happen on a daily basis in all our lives don't get noted anywhere. But somehow, at least, someone who recognizes, who is sensitive enough, understands that Krishna is not just great, but he's also sweet. He has his own amazing way of attracting our hearts. Therefore, this combination of sweetness and greatness makes Krishna the most lovable personality in the universe. So let us all, in our most grateful and enthusiastic spirits, welcome Krishna into our lives. A person that has brought in so much of sweetness in all our lives and so much of gratitude in all our lives. So it's a time to celebrate Janmashtami, which is the festival of sweetness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.